Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. And let's turn to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. And since this is the week of Thanksgiving, let me simply ask, what are you thankful for? What can you offer up to the Lord as a thank offering? Spirit of God is among us, even now. Amen. Someone else? Pardon? Good health. Absolutely. Someone else? Your family. Thank you, Adam. Thank you. Randy? Answer to prayer. Amen. Salvation. Where would we be without that? Thank you, dear. And it's good to see you on Sunday morning. You got the day off? Bless your heart. That's great. Someone else? Our church family. I thank the Lord for our church family. I really do. I don't look at you guys as church members. I look at you as being a part of my family. I really do. We've been here together for so long that we kind of act like family, don't we? Anyway, what are you thankful for? Huh? Now you're all going to the cabin. Family's going to the cabin this week. Okay. Liz? All right. Amen. That's a blessing. I met her this morning, saw her this morning. We hugged. It's good to see Bethany home safe. Yes. Clint? Healthy children. Thank you. Amen. Thank the Lord for giving us Jesus. His many mercies. He is a merciful God. Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you, dear. His word. We have a lot to be thankful for. If we would take David at his word and simply count our blessings, amen, how long the list would be. How many of you, this might sound strange, but how many of you are thankful for death? I didn't ask if you were looking forward to it. I asked if you were thankful for it. Yes, you are. Do you understand this morning that unless we experience death, we would never see the face of the Lord? Now, I know that for the most part, when we think about death, we have these really negative feelings and we have these negative thoughts. Death is not one of those things that is high on our list of experiences that we're really looking forward to experiencing. Because once you've experienced it, there's no going back. But death is just as much a part of life as birth. And yet death oftentimes has a very dark, ominous, foreboding presence hanging over us, because all of us know here this morning that you don't have to be old to die, and you don't have to be sick to die. This past week, one of our dear ladies in the fellowship went to be with the Lord. She was 91 years old, Pauline Blosser. And during the testimonies yesterday of the memorial service, a number of individuals had shared with us the fact that on Sunday when they talked with her, they called and talked with her, she was feeling fine, she was doing okay. Monday morning, she had breakfast, she was feeling good, everything looked all right, and then she just collapsed, and that was it. She was gone. Every one of us, every day, live under the pall of death. because it could strike any one of us at any moment. And yet, how many of us are prepared for it? Bless you. How many of us have confidence and assurance that when we do face death, that everything is going to be all right? Now, I can honestly stand before you this morning and say, I have no fear of death. And it's not because I am a preacher. And it's not because I've studied this book and I have taken its truths and as best I can brought these truths into my life, so on and so forth. No. I can stand before you and say that I have no fear of death because I walk with the one who's conquered death. And I can assuredly say death has no hold on any child of God. No hold whatsoever. David the king. In the twilight of his life, looks back over his experiences as a young boy, as a shepherd, taking care of his father's flock around the fields of Bethlehem, as the young king, anointed to be the successor to Saul over Israel. And as he grew older and wiser, and his experiences with the Lord God brought the nation of Israel together and expanded its borders to the greatest length that Israel would have in the ancient days. Now is coming to the end of his life. And he looks over his life and his soul wells up with all of the wonder and the majesty and the grace and the power and the goodness of the Lord God. And he writes this beautiful hymn, the 23rd Psalm. Bless you. He writes this wonderful ode to the God of his salvation. And as David himself faces death, he writes in the fourth verse of this 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He looks into the face of death with joy, with confidence, with assurance. Why? I want to explore this verse with us this morning. So if you have your Bibles and have turned to the 23rd Psalm, verse 4. Before we get to that point, I want to remind us what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." And then in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Bottom line, unless the Lord returns within the next 100 years, there's not a one of us that's going to get out of this life alive. Not a one of us. Every single one of us, again, unless the Lord returns within the next 100 years, and I believe He will, and I believe His return is very, very soon. But if for some reason the Lord should tarry for another 100 years, every single one of us in this room will face death. Like it or not, we will all die because we've all sinned and rebelled against the Lord our God. And the penalty for that sin is death. And yet King David, knowing that he was going to die and knowing that he was approaching death very soon in his life, he was not concerned about it. Now here again you see in the 23rd Psalm, verse 4, a very, very familiar passage of Scripture that's been a very wonderful blessing to the heart of individuals on their deathbed. a great blessing to individuals who are facing the chilling hand of death. David sings, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I like the Hebrew, literal Hebrew, much better, which says, "Even though I pass through death's dark ravine, I fear no disaster, for you are with me, your rod and staff reassure me." This marvelous passage reveals so much about David's confidence in the Lord as he faces death. But let me share with you a very important truth. Remember this, mark it down. David's confidence in the Lord as he faced death was a direct result of his life and confidence and faith in the Lord throughout his life. In other words, as we walk the way of righteousness with the Lord in life and throughout life, we can confidently and fearlessly face the valley of the shadows of death even when this life draws to a close. You see, David looked at death not with fear and not with trembling and not with terror in his soul or in his spirit. He looked with confidence and assurance as he faced death, because his entire life was lived in the confidence and in the assurance of the Lord God every day of his life. Now, there were days, yes, there were days when David had sinned against the Lord. There were days when David was rebellious. Not every moment of David's life was lived in holiness and in righteousness. But the tenor of his life, when you take a look at his life as a whole, his life was lived in faith. His life was lived in the confident assurance of the Lord God with him. And listen, dear friends, we can be like Enoch. And I think this is one of the reasons why we have Enoch mentioned in the book of Genesis. We can be like Enoch. We can live every day walking in fellowship with the Lord God. Every day, no matter how many days we have, no matter how many weeks or months or years that we have, we can walk every single day in fellowship with the Lord God. And we can continue to walk with Him every single day until the day He takes us home. And there will not be interruption. There will not be any upheaval. There will not be any concern. There will not be any issue. We just go keep walking on with Him all the way home. Right, Brother Potts? Amen. Amen. You see, we look at death as being an interruption, an interference, an enemy. But when you walk with the Lord, death is just another door that leads into the greater room of our fellowship with God. And that's how we need to look at it. That's how David looked at it. He was confident as he faced death because he was confident as he lived his life. He walked with the Lord through the portal of death because he walked with the Lord every day of his life. And that's the key, my friends. If you, when thinking about death, there's a chill that runs up and down your spine, or in thinking about death, you have this sinking feeling in your spirit, it may be because you're not walking with the Lord in your life. Let's take a look at this psalm. I want to kind of tear it apart. And I want us to look at the various reasons why King David had such confidence in the Lord as he faced death. Notice what he says here. First of all, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Yea, though I walk through the valley. Isn't that wonderful? We walk through the valley. We don't walk to the valley and stay in the valley. We walk through the valley. Somebody said to me a while back, you know, just because you're going through hell today doesn't mean you have to stop, build a house, and live there for the rest of your life. And the same is true when we understand death as simply the portal to eternity with God. Death is a doorway. It is a doorway from this existence, from what is mortal to that which is immortal, from that which is transient to that which is eternal, from that which is of the flesh to that which is of God. It's the pathway that we walk through. We don't stay there. We walk through it. Death may claim the body, but not the soul. Amen? Death may end my life here, but not in eternity. Those who walk with the Lord in life pass through the valley of death's shadows into the courts of heaven. Death is not the end of life. It is the doorway to eternal life. And David understood that, because there were many valleys and many ravines that David had to lead the sheep through. And as a good shepherd, he understood the dangers that were in those valleys, but he realized they were not going to stay in those valleys. They were just going to pass through to the other side. Secondly, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death." Have you ever noticed that? David didn't say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death." He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." What do you have to have in order to have a shadow? Huh? What do you have to have in order to have a shadow? You got to have a light somewhere, right? You have to have a light beyond the object that casts its shadow. Do you see the picture that David is painting here? The valley may be dark with shadow, but there's a light beyond. There is a greater reality beyond the shadows. In order to have a shadow, there has to be a light beyond it. We don't fear what the valley offers, and we do not fear what the shadows in the valley conceal, but we take comfort in the light of the Lord that leads us through that valley and on to the other side. Someone said, and I love the way they said this, someone said that death stands by the side of the road and casts its shadow on the pathway, but it cannot halt and it cannot hinder my journey through that valley. How many of you have ever been knocked down by a shadow? How many of you walking and you've seen a shadow and you've stopped and you've walked around the shadow because you felt or you thought in your mind you can't walk through the shadow? We would say, how foolish. You know, shadows are just the absence of light in a certain area or a great degradation of light in a certain area. It's important to remember, dear friends, that the valley of the shadow of death has nothing to fear, because shadows have no substance. They have no power. They have no authority over those who walk with the Lord. Do we understand that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death has no power over the child of God. Death cannot hold us. Death cannot contain us. Why? Because David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The shepherd who guides his sheep through the valley protects his sheep while they're in that valley. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Death has been conquered through the resurrection of Jesus, amen? And those who find their life hidden in Christ Jesus have that same victory over death. I have no fear of walking through the valleys of the shadows of death, because the one who leads me has already walked through that valley. He knows the dangers. He's experienced the evils of it, and he has become victorious over it. What have I to fear as long as I follow my shepherd? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands." Listen to that, would you? Now I know, and I know that you know, that I am a proponent. I believe that the Bible teaches eternal security of the believer. And I know that there are some of you here that don't believe in that biblical doctrine. But that's okay. You have your right to be wrong. But look at this passage of Scripture. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." He says, "I give them eternal life. They will never perish." They will eternal life, not temporary life, but eternal life. They will never perish, not might, not could be, but never perish. "And neither shall anyone snatch them out." Notice the image he gives here. He says, "You are in my hands, and I am in the Father's hands, and no one is able to take me out of my Father's hands." Is that secure or what? No one and nothing is able to take us out of his hands, not even death. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God." You remember the passage. "Neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers, things present, things to come, things in the past. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, not even death." So I don't run through the valley of the shadows, nor am I panicked or paralyzed with fear as I pass through the valley. I walk with confidence because I walk with my shepherd. I am in his hands. He's in his Father's hands. Nothing can take him out of his Father's hands. So nothing can take me out of his hands, not even death. There's confidence there. There's assurance there. There's peace there. Someone has written, and I like this, "The same arm that has proven strong and faithful to uphold me all through the wilderness of my life will yet be strong and faithful to uphold me through the valley of the shadow of death. He who has traveled this road before will lead me beyond its borders and through its dangers safely home." Isn't that great? Doesn't that bless your heart? Jesus has already traveled this pathway. Jesus has already walked through this valley. He knows the way. He knows what it holds. He knows how to get through it. And he knows how to lead his children through that same valley that he himself has traversed. Another thing, notice again. "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me." David says, "I will fear no evil. I'll not be anxious or concerned or upset over death." Why? Because of the shepherd's rod and staff. Now, these are two different words in the Hebrew because they're two different instruments that a shepherd uses. The rod is that instrument that the shepherd uses, and we're more familiar with this. It's the long pole that has a hook at the top of it, the crook at the top of it. That's the shepherd's rod. It served three purposes. First of all, the Old Testament tells us that when the shepherd is ready to bed down the sheep, or when the shepherd brings the sheep to the sheepfold or the sheepcote, every individual member of the herd or the flock passes under the shepherd's rod. Why? So he can count them. The shepherd is sure of every member of his sheepfold. Now, I take great comfort in that. And the reason I take comfort in that is because the shepherd makes sure that not one member of his sheepfold is lost or forgotten. Every one of them passes under the rod. And if one is missing, what does the scripture say? He leaves the 99 in the fold and goes and finds the one that's lost and brings him home. Every member passes under the rod. He counts the sheep. But not only does he count the sheep, as each one passes under the rod, he notices the condition. And if anyone needs special attention, he takes care of that one that might be lame, that might have some torn flesh, that might be bruised, might have a broken leg. He notices each condition and he takes care of it. But he also separates those that don't belong to him. As each member of the flock passes under the rod, he notices those that are his and those that are not his, and he separates those that don't belong to him. And I think of that passage in the book of the Revelation where all shall gather around the great white throne judgment of God, and he shall separate the sheep from the goats, the shepherd's rod. He separates those that don't belong to him. Secondly, the rod was used to control the sheep, not just to count them, but to control them. By the rod, the shepherd was able to keep the sheep on the right path, and he was able to keep them in the right pasture. The crook was used to draw the sheep back by the neck if they wandered off. By the rod, he could slow them down if they were running too far ahead, or he could speed them up if they were lagging too far behind, so that all of the members of the flock could stay under his control, under his leadership. Thirdly, the rod was used to correct the sheep. From time to time, sheep would get at odds with each other, and they would start fighting, particularly the rams. And so the shepherd would use the rod to separate those individuals that were fighting. He would use the rod to firmly, but gently redirect the sheep away from danger. If they got too close to the lion's den, he would use the rod to redirect them away from the lion's den or from the bear's den. Or if there happened to be a snake's den where asps would congregate, he could redirect the sheep away from those places of danger. He could use the crook in the rod to retrieve one of the sheep if they happened to fall into a ravine. If they happened to have broken a leg in the fall, he could gently put that crook around their neck and pull them up to safety. He could also use that crook to redirect them away from the edge of a precipice or a cliff. The rod was very important. But notice he says the staff also. The staff was a long, heavy stick, usually had a knot or a ball on the end of it, was larger on one end than the other. And he would use this as a weapon of defense. If indeed a bear or a lion came to threaten the sheepfold, he could use that staff to drive the animal off or even kill the animal. If there happened to be an asp or a scorpion that was in the pasture and was threatening the sheep, he could use that staff to crush the head of the serpent, lest they strike the sheep and make them sick or even kill one of the sheep. Or if there were thieves in the area, sheep thieves, he would use that staff to defend his sheep from anyone who would try to come in and steal one of the sheep. You see, the staff was a very powerful and effective weapon in the hands of a skilled shepherd. But the point here is protection. Last week we looked at how the shepherd provides. Today we look at how the shepherd protects. He takes every measure possible to protect what belongs to Him. I ask you, dear friends, do you belong to Him? Are you a member of His sheepfold? Is He your shepherd? David paints a beautiful picture of the shepherd's protection over his sheep, even in the face of danger, even in the face of uncertainty, even in the face of the unknown, things that might be concealed by the dark shadows. It's a beautiful picture of the Lord's protection over His children who follow Him in life and who follow Him through death. So as we walk the valley of the shadows of death, we fear no evil. David said we would fear no evil. Did you notice this? He didn't say there wouldn't be any evil. He said we would fear no evil. There is evil in the valley of shadows. There's evil all around us in life, and there's evil all around us in death. There is the evil of doubt. There is the evil of fear. There is the evil of terror. There is the evil of second guessing. There are all kinds of evil that surrounds an individual when they're in the throes of death. But David said we would not fear any evil in the valley of the shadows because the Lord keeps us moving. The Lord protects us as we walk down that path with Him, never lagging behind, never running ahead, never turning aside from the path. He defends us from anything hidden by the shadows. He crushes anything or anyone that might venture onto the path and threaten His own. He turns away any hindrance. He steers us around any obstacle. He removes any obstruction, and He provides a clear, safe, and sure pathway onto glory. I find one final comfort here, and I'll close with this. And it really alludes back to what we first stated, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows. One final comfort that I have in this passage of Scripture is that my shepherd never leaves me in the valley. He walks with me through that valley to the other side. He never abandons us in the valley to wander aimlessly in the shadows or to succumb to the powers of the evil that are all around us. He is there personally to lead me through that valley to His home, to the place of rest, the green pastures, to the place of peace, the still waters. He leads me into the courts of heaven where I'm safe and I am secure forever. The poet writes, "Just beyond the darkened valley to the land of pure delight, we shall dwell with Christ our Savior. Faith will then be sight. Just beyond the toil and labor that has often sore oppressed, there awaits for us in heaven sweet and everlasting rest. Just beyond the pain and sorrow that's a portion of our cross, there awaits a lasting peace and reward for all our loss. Just beyond the valley's dark night, Jesus leads us to the land of His love and light." Isn't that wonderful? "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Father, thank You for this precious promise, this marvelous insight that Your servant David had as he faced his own death. And Lord, what a word he gives to us that would give us confidence and assurance that, Lord, death has no terror for the child of God. Father, there is no shrinking back for the true saint of the Lord God. But Lord, we who walk confidently with You today and every day in life can walk confidently with you through the valley of death and on into the courts of glory. Thank you for this wonderful assurance. Thank you for this wonderful song. I pray, Lord God, that everyone here knows you as the shepherd of their life. I pray everyone here is a member of your sheepcote. I pray that every soul here knows, Lord God, the joy that comes by following you as the shepherd of their life each and every day. But there may be one who does not know you, has never had a personal relationship with you. There may be one who's not following after you. And so their life, Lord God, may be filled with apprehension, with doubt, with fear, maybe even terror over the prospect of death. There is no confidence as they face their own demise because there is no confidence in life. I pray that today they'll see, they'll understand, they'll realize what a wonderful God you are, what a wonderful Lord you are, what a wonderful shepherd you are, and how you provide for us and how you protect us. And I pray that today they'll put their faith and trust in you and become a member of your family, become a member of your heavenly flock. Lord, I pray for brothers and sisters who may have put faith and trust in you, Lord God, at some time in their life, but today, Lord, they've strayed away from the path of righteousness. Today, they're wandering in fields and in pastures that are not yours. They're wandering too close to the dangers that can overtake them, Father. They're walking the edge of the cliff, and the slightest thing that can come along can knock them over the edge. I pray, Lord God, that they will surrender to your lordship, to your rod and to your staff, and be redirected, Lord, back to the places of safety under your control, under your leadership and guidance. Father, I pray that they will come also and renew their fellowship with you. Father, they will restore their walk with you. Lord, you know the heart and you know every life, you know every need in every life here today. I pray that by your grace and mercy you will meet those needs through your Son Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross to save us all from the dangers and from the terror of death. For I ask it in your holy and precious name. Amen and amen. Stand with me if you will, please. David is going to lead us in a time of invitation, a time of decision, a time when we say, Lord, I want you to be the shepherd of my life. Father, I want you to take away that apprehension, that fear that I have of death and dying. I want you, Lord God, to give me confidence and assurance like you gave your servant David, so that no matter what I may face today or tomorrow, I can face it with confidence because, Lord God, I walk with you. Understand, dear friend, that every single one of us live our lives under the pall of death. There is no assurance that we'll have a tomorrow. There's no assurance that our heart will not stop beating this very day. There's no assurance that we will survive the day. But can we face that with confidence and assurance in the Lord God that no matter what it is I face, the Lord God is going to be with me and I'm going to walk hand in hand with Him through that valley? Can you say that with all honesty? If not, I invite you to come and put your trust in Jesus. I invite you to come and let Him become the shepherd of your life. Let Him be the Lord and the Savior of your soul. Come and allow Him to take away that apprehension and that fear, that anxiety, and give you perfect peace in Him. You come as we sing. David, lead us.
You are my strength like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me.
The Bible Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.